Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Sometimes people say to us, and I think I said this to the girls at Flourish about a year ago. I can't believe it's nearly a year ago since Flourish launched my women's ministry. It was awesome. But sometimes people say, how do you cope with all the jet lag? And I simply say, quite easily, three bottles a day. No problem. That helps me a lot to cope with the jet lag and stuff. And the first bottle is, because my eyes are often bloodshot, is Visine. And so I put that in my eyes and get rid of all the roadmaps. And I was putting it in the other day, and as I put some in, spontaneously, my mouth opened. I thought, well, I don't want to drink it. I just want to put it in my eye. But as I did that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, that's what I want to happen for you. Every time I open your eyes to a new revelation, I want it to be you can't help but open your mouth and speak out the great things that I've done. The second bottle is nasal spray because, you know, air conditioning and stuff, aeroplanes. I spend a lot of time in metal tubes, 39,000 feet above the earth, breathing other people's air. And your nose gets a bit blocked up. So you know, the old nasal spray kind of works. And my prayer tonight, and it's consistent with the title of my message, actually, which is simply breathe. Everyone say breathe. Is that as we open God's word together, you'll get a fresh draft of the fresh breath of God over everything that you're engaged in. The third bottle, and this is a bit embarrassing, my wife doesn't have any proof over this at all. I've thrown the challenge down. And you know, there are things called phones that record things, so she hasn't done that. So, but she says I snore, right? And I want to stay married, so I thought I'd do something about it. And I was in a pharmacy in the US, and there was this little thing shaped like a fire extinguisher, and it's called Snore Stop, and it's like a homeopathic remedy. And so I thought I just stole away by myself. I thought I'd give it a dry run before I do it, you know, just before I go to bed. And put the little nozzle up one nostril and nearly burnt the inside of my brains out. And I thought, no wonder you don't snore. There's nothing left inside your head to snore with. And then I read the instructions and it said, spray it in your throat, right? So anyway, my heart for you tonight is that God would open your eyes and you couldn't help but open your mouth and speak out the incredible things that God would open your nostrils spiritually and you get a fresh draught of the breath of God. And as we open God's word, that we'd simply follow his instructions. Come with me to Genesis chapter 2. I talked this morning about a car that I just bought for my grandson. Well, I didn't actually give it to him. I needed it so I could put a car seat in the back because my other car didn't have a car seat. And as we were taking this thing for a test drive, you'll have to listen to the podcast. I actually was taking it through the national park at dusk. A kangaroo came out from the left and cleaned up the front of the car, my test driving of the car. And so on that same road, a little further down, I was reminded, even in the midst of my conundrum about having lost the bumper bar and the grill of the car that I was test driving, my mind was cast back, some beautiful beaches down the south coast of Sydney, just not too far from our house, to probably one of the scariest moments of my ministry. We could have had about 20 or 30 young people die. They were at a youth camp. If you're a youth pastor here, this is the terror, night terrors of a youth pastor. And they'd gone to a beach, which is quite a notorious beach, but they checked with the lifeguard. And the lifeguard said, it's all sweet. And it was pretty tame. There was a sandbar. The kids were just frolicking on the sandbar, just up to here. And before no time, a rogue set of waves came in, washed the sandbar out. And before they knew it, there was 30 young people in like a washing machine of this as wave after wave just came in and hit them. By the time we arrived after an SOS call, there was like still 15 young people lying on their side, just belching and so forth, getting half the Pacific Ocean out of their lungs. Tragically, two people died that day. An older gentleman, he passed away, and a younger guy about 21. We'd had a guy by the name of Andrew Kabbalah, a great friend of ours, a healing evangelist. And he'd been the week before and he'd been talking about believe, stop, don't stop believing. Even when it seems impossible, that's a word for someone here tonight. Even when it seems impossible, continue to believe God. God. God is able to do things when things are absolutely dead. And so as he did this, and the paramedics had given this kid up for dead as well, our youth pastor, Tim Biasetto, who's a friend of the house here, and a friend of Dave and Jenna's, and they he just started working on this kid and started laying hands on him and started praying in the spirit very, very loudly. And he had got a couple of other lifeguards that were part of our youth leadership team starting to do mouth-to-mouth and CPR. And before long, this kid who'd been given up for dead, he actually did this. And Tim said, he's breathing. And the paramedic said, no, mate, that's what they do. It's their last kind of gasp and it's gone. And so Tim refused to give up. He continued to pray in the spirit. They continued to work on him. And this kid came back to life in Jesus' name. It was a powerful, powerful testimony to the entire camp, as you can appreciate. And Tim had coffee with that kid who knew it was oblivious to everything that had happened apart from the fact he got into trouble in the surf. And Tim sort of explained it and so forth. And the kid said, the kid looked at Tim and said, yeah, thanks very much. Like, thanks very much. Like that's it. Yeah. And Tim shared Jesus with him and he's like, yeah, well, I'll see you again. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, good luck. And it got me thinking about times where we have near-death experiences. And people have one of two responses. I don't know about you, I've had a number of near-death experiences. I remember there was a time when I got a viral meningitis and I was absolutely as crook as crook. And in fact, someone in the church, a young man, got his wires terribly crossed. There was a young man about the same age as me. I think I might have been about 30 at the time. Executive pastor at Hillsong about 6 years ago now. But shut up. And so he actually did pass away, sadly. But this young other guy, who obviously hadn't been around a church all that much, he got his wires crossed, and in the mail arrived a letter of condolences to my wife Valerie about the passing of her husband Michael. And we didn't know this guy. And he said to Valerie, if there's anything you need me to do, I'm happy to come over and help you. I thought, you rotter, I'm not even dead yet, and you're jumping into my coffin already, sunshine. So his phone number was down the bottom. And so I looked at the phone number, and I looked at the phone, and I looked at the phone number, and I looked at the phone, and the devil made me do it. So I actually rang the guy. And you know, he picked up and he said, oh, I can't remember his name now, but I said, yeah, it's Michael Murphy here. He said, Michael Murphy! I said, yes, I'm coming to you from the other side. Near-death experiences. I've had a number of car situations, some my own fault. One time I was blind drunk going many, many years ago and flipped a VW. Fortunately, I was the only one in the car. And that catalyzed the journey. You know, eternity is an amazing thing. Eternity is an amazing thing. We live sometimes as if we're bulletproof until we have a close breath, like a hair's breath, a touch, a graze of eternity. You know, the truth is you walk through life with your nose pressed up against a very thin membrane called forever. One tear in that membrane and you are it for eternity with or without Jesus. That's the truth. If you're visiting here tonight, I want you to know there's no condemnation in this place. No one's sitting judging you or pointing the finger. I'm a fellow pilgrim like you. I knew a time when I was way away from God. My life was out of control and I had an encounter with Jesus. And tonight, our faith, our heart is that we know you're not here by accident. And that's not weird. I'm not saying someone trapped you or handcuffed you and dragged you along here. It might seem like happen chance, but I know that God, he loves you so much. He's got you under the sound of some words that are going to breathe some hope into your heart. And at the end of the service, I'm going to pray a prayer. And my heart is that you would actually say, come on, God, I want to give you a go in my life. I remember I was in the Philippines once. And we'd gone for a swim. It was you know, 117 degrees Celsius. It was hot. And we actually went for a swim one afternoon, the only afternoon we had off. And I went down and had a siesta, whipped my board shorts off, threw them in the corner, wet, don't tell my wife, and just laid down. There was a knock at the door, and I quickly got up, nearly answered the door in the knackered. That wouldn't be good. Picked up the board shorts. While I was sleeping, a scorpion had got into my shorts. Yeah, guys, you can feel me, hey? Yeah. And so I put the shorts on, and it stung me right here. And I was delirious for a couple of days, and they had to give me antivenin or something like that. And I was walking around like a space cadet for years now since then. And that's my excuse. What's yours? So here's my point. Have there been times when 1 centimeter, 1 split second, gone the other way, and you may not be sitting in that seat right now? I don't say that to terrorize you or to freak you out. But the reality is you're still alive because God wanted you alive. It's God who gives breath and he takes it away. Down near that Stanmore Park where that near tragedy happened, I went just at the start of the year. Every year I try and get away and just get a word from God. Get a word that relates to me. And I've already indicated what that word is. As I drove back up from just a couple of days retreat, just getting out of the rat race. And I felt like God speaking in my heart. And when I say that, don't think I'm, that I hear these, Michael. Not like that. When I say speak, it's a euphemism for saying, God actually gives you an impression on the inside. It's like when you know anyone well. You know, they don't even have to say a whole lot of words and you kind of know where they're coming from. I knew this very, very clearly that God was saying, Michael, in the midst of your frenetic schedule, I want you this year, 2018, to breathe. I thought, that's a good idea, God, better than the alternative. But I knew exactly what he meant. Some of you need that same word, that we run so fast and we run so frenetically that God says, in the midst of your busy life, in the midst of your social life, in the midst of the work life, in the midst of all your studies and bunging all that together, just take a sec to breathe. Because it's only in that moment where you take a pause that you can helicopter a little bit above the frenetic day-to-day and actually start to think about what's important in your life. Eternity is important. Eternity is a very, 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 very long time. And so you want to make sure that you can be wrong about a lot of stuff. Eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about, friend. Eternity is the wrong thing to be wrong about. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight about this whole notion of breathe. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God created man. It's not the goo to you via the zoo.
Yeah, that's good.
You are not an accident. Do not believe anyone that says you are a total accident. Now, whilst we may not know exactly how God did it, there are certain things that are discretionary. I tend to be a pretty simple sort of guy. I believe what the Bible says. But what I do know, and I can unequivocally say, this is not just intelligent design. This is designed by a personal God who loves you with an everlasting love. And he created you for an absolute purpose. And the reason you've still got breath today is because that's exactly how he wants it to be. He's not finished with you yet. So he created man, but man was just like almost imagine a waxworks figure. I remember one day I was studying for my HSC, again, just a couple of years ago now. Shut up. And there was some commotion going across the road. And tragically, a family member had come to this older lady. And they said, well, she should be home, but she's not. And I said, well, would you like me to get through the window and just see what's going on? They said, oh, would you do that? You know, I said, sure. And so I jumped through the window. And there she was. She'd taken her own life. The thing that you notice about a corpse is, it sounds weird, but the absence of life. Frankly, there's a lot of people walking around. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. They're the walking dead. There's no purpose. There's no glint in their eye. I don't know about you. I choose joy because I've got a lot of things to be joyful about. God tonight is wanting to breathe fresh life into every aspect of your world. And right now, I don't need to be a prophet to realize there would be parts of your world that are dead. Parts of your world that are like waxworks figures. And God says tonight, if you will allow me, what I want to do is I want to breathe the breath of life into that area, and what is now dead will come back to life in Jesus' name. God is not interested in making bad people good. God loves bringing dead things and making them alive in Jesus' name. That's the heart of God for you, friend. That's the heart of God. You know, when we think about you know, God's heart in that whole deal. And I want to jump straight to another bit of the old part, the old bit. There's the new bit, the New Testament, and the old bit. This is another one of the old bit. And it's a dude by the name of Ezekiel, Zeke to his friends. We'll call him Zeke. And he's actually kind of in a conversation with God. And he used to chat to the big fella. And God would give him thoughts and words. The Bible calls them prophecies that would help him to impart what God's heart was for the people. And so in one of these encounters, and you can find it in Ezekiel chapter 37, let me tell you the story. It's kind of a bit trippy, actually. This would make a good freaky movie. So I want you to come with me on this. So God takes Ezekiel into this valley of dry bones, gazillions of dry bones, absolutely creepy. And he asks this question of Ezekiel. He says, Zeke, he said, Zeke, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's answer was not too dissimilar to many of the answers you and I give. He says, oh, you know, Lord. You know, Lord. It's like fence-sitting faith right there. Whatever your will is, Lord. You know, Lord. God's like, can these bones flip and live? Is what God said. He didn't say the flipping, I put that in. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord. Praise you, O Heavenly Father. Glory be to God. Only you know, Lord. If it be thou willest, Lord. Some of you right now have given up believing in a certain area of your life. You are sitting, your faith is sitting on the fence right now. And tonight we're going to give that a prophetic push in Jesus' name so that God can do the miracle that He wants to do. You see, God chooses not to live and work independent of us. God can do what He likes. He's God. He's God Almighty. He doesn't need you and I. He's not like, oh, Gabriel, they're having a bad day. What are we going to do? God says, no, I've created you for my pleasure. And He said, I love it. I think it's awesome when we work together to see miracles happen. That's the heart of God. I'm a granddad. I said that this morning. I am absolutely besotted with my grandchildren. I'm not like I'm going to do it all. I love getting down on the ground and playing cars. I love playing superheroes. Freddie is Freddy Man, and I am Papa Man. And I love hanging out and doing things together. If just an ordinary granddad dude like me loves that, how much more? How much more does your Heavenly Father, if you'll just get off the fence with your faith and say, God, let's give this thing a shake together in Jesus' name. There are dead things in your life. There are dead bones in your life right now. For some of you, it's a marriage. It's very quiet in this Presbyterian church. And you're sitting on the fence. You once believed God for that thing. But right now, it's just become too painful. Hope deferred has made your heart sick. And it's easier for you to pull the foot off the gas in terms of faith than potentially be disappointed once again. Some of you got a wayward child, and initially it was believe, believe, believe. But it's like, if you're honest with yourself, it hardly even rates a mention in your prayers. Many of us have got friends that still have not
come into the reality that there's a God in heaven that really is nuts about him. Tonight, I believe God is wanting to cause you to get your faith off the fence. Is to let your faith catapult prophetically in sync with his faith. And for you to see that thing that you'd given up hope for, to actually see that thing move and come alive in Jesus' name. It was dead bones. Right now it's dead bones. But God is going to raise that thing from the dead in Jesus' name. So this passage here in Ezekiel 37, there's this valley of dry bones. And when I see that, I can ask a couple of questions. I ask, well, what happened to him? What happened to him? I said, well, you know, an enemy came, and I don't think so. See, this is bones of the army of Israel. And Israel is God's people. And so while Israel were turned towards God, there's no way he would let them lose a battle. Certainly to have perhaps tens of thousands, maybe hundreds, I don't know, of dead, dry bones left in the valley. So I kind of discount that. I don't think it was famine. Because again, we know that God turns situations around and favored his people. Even to this day, I was in Jerusalem just the other day in Israel. And a lot of the nations around, they're barren and so forth. Jerusalem is, Israel is this fertile kind of piece of land. It's ridiculous. I discount famine. You see, I believe the only thing that can truly defeat and decimate the people of God is internal. I believe it was the sin and the independence that Israel exhibited toward God that actually ultimately brought about their demise. So bit by bit, maybe these people just fell like flies in this valley to the point now where every bit of meat has been picked off them by vultures and they're a valley of parched, dead as dead, dry bones. So don't say that your situation is too bony for God. Don't say your situation is too far gone for God. Don't say that sickness, regardless of what the doctors have done and said, what their diagnosis is, and what stage, it might be stage 54 of something, and God says, do not say that those bones are too dead and dry, because I specialize in bringing life from dead bones in Jesus' name. That's the heart of God for you. Fast forward the story, and God says, I want you to prophesy over the bones. And prophesy, the bones come together. And I love this. Here's what it says. God doesn't have to take a whole lot of time over that. And in verse 7 of Ezekiel 37, it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And listen to this. As I prophesied, there was a noise. This would be freaky, I tell you. There was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together. Bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, and the sinews and the flesh, they came upon them as well, and the skin covered them over. But there was still no breath left in them. So now you've got a whole lot of corpses, a whole lot of wax works, as far as the eyes can see, of these dead people. But then he doesn't finish there. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great and mighty army. That's the heart of God. So whether it's a sickness situation, whether it's a marriage situation, whether it's a family situation, whether your business is on the brink, there is no bone that's too parched for God to not bring resurrection life into. And I believe that's what he wants to seriously do tonight. So we're going to believe for nothing short of miracles. We are going to believe tonight for nothing short of God's dramatic miracle working power. Not because I'm here, not because I'm at the pulpit here. No, got nothing to do with that. But because God is still on the throne in heaven. And this same story, if he did it once, he can do it again. If he did it for Ezekiel, if he did it for a bunch of nameless people full of dry bones in a valley, he can do it for you who knows your name. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he says, come on, let's do this together. My brother-in-law, Jim, was an amazing guy. He was a wordsmith. He actually edited my wife's book. I'm the least published person in our family. You're welcome. My wife's got a published book. My daughter's got a published book. Me, blot. So Jim, he edited my wife's book. He's a Masters of English and just a really smart guy. Really smart guy. I was talking about, I'd regularly have to dive for the dictionary. And he contracted a glioblastoma. If you've heard of it, it's the most aggressive form of brain tumor. And very quickly, it started to get into his speech center. He had it operated on by Charlie Teo, one of the leading brain specialists, if not the leading brain specialist in the world. He spoke to the American combined houses of parliament up there. Not parliament, you know what I'm talking about, the Congress. And they thought they got it, bombarded it with the chemo and radio and stuff. And anyway, came back with a vengeance. Started getting his speech centers to the point where he couldn't put two words. He's this wordsmith. He couldn't put two words together in English. He would come down in the morning. He stayed at our house toward the end. Then you'd say, morning. And I'm like, oh, Jim, I'm so sorry. And I said, Jim, you can't speak in English, eh? I said, Jim, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? He said, yeah. I said, can you still pray in tongues? Now, I wouldn't normally do this on a Sunday, but just the context. I want to get you to get the context. The Bible does talk about when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he gives you the ability to speak in languages you didn't learn at school or in the home. The Bible calls it tongues. So just remember, he cannot put two words together in English. And he says, yeah. And I said, well, come on, let's go. So he started. He starts praying in the Holy Spirit, shivers going up and down my spine. And we used to have these little Holy Spirit powwows. You know, the word for spirit and breath in Scripture is basically the same word. He couldn't put two words together going by his brain, but his spirit was still alive and communing with the living God. I caught him one day. And I came down early in the morning and he was out on the veranda already and the door was ajar and he's praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden he goes, the guy is on death's door. I thought, man, you got a good joke book up there, God. Or maybe he just scratched a little close to who you are and a bucket of joy just fell all over him. Friend, this eternity thing is real. We're not talking about playing church. We're not talking about just playing fables or games. The reality is that you are more alive spiritually than even you are physically. You're not some natural person having a temporary spiritual experience. You are entirely a spirit-inspired being. And right now on earth, you're having temporary natural experience. He said something funny to me. He said, three. I said, three what, Jim? It's a little earlier on. He had a little bit of language. And I said, three. He's got two kids. I said, okay, Charlotte and Caleb. I said, so you're concerned if you go to heaven, what's going to happen? I said, Valerie, your sister, she's got you, basically. Now, Jim's marriage broke up about 20 years before where his wife walked out with a weight loss consultant and left him with the kids. Very acrimonious. And I said, Bronwyn. And he went, I said, whoa. I said, in your moment of most dire need where you're fighting for your life, your highest thought is about your ex-wife who broke your heart, her eternity. Things developed pretty quickly. And they actually reconciled as friends. She was with someone else, but to the point she came up, she was a nurse, and she stayed in the hospital with him and would look after him each day. She describes it this way. She said, Michael, the night was just like any normal night. And I couldn't sleep. I was restless. He was sleeping on the couch next to the bed in the room. And she said, the nurses came in to roll him over for bed sores and so forth. And she said, I listened. and he was still breathing. And I went, it's funny, I just felt to go over. I hadn't had this conversation with her, what happened at home. And she said, I bent down and I whispered in his ear. She said, Jim, I want you to know I still love Jesus. I haven't lost my faith. And here's what happened. It was the last words he ever saw before he went into the arms of Jesus. The breath of God is very, very powerful. The breath of God will absolutely bring resurrection life to dead bones, no matter how parched they might be. The greatest resurrection, of course, is the resurrection of the Son of God. And the second greatest is the resurrection of your heart, your spirit. There are many people here. I don't know you, but I do know this with confidence. There are many people here right now, and there's a distance between you and your God. And I want to do everything I can tonight without pushing or cajoling or manipulating anyone. I just want you to know there's a Heavenly Father. He sent His only Son, Jesus, to take the price of everything that would stand between you and Him, your sin and mine. He took that on a cross that you don't have to go to that cross. He took the pain, He took the death so that that sin could be dealt with once and for all. And tonight, if you will accept what He's already done, you can be totally forgiven. You can walk out of here totally shame-free in the name of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.